Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Penske File. We did it, Reddit. We made it through Season 1 of Star Trek The Next Generation. If you're just tuning in, this is a podcast that's going to be running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. And this is the Season 1 wrap-up episode. So we're not going to be talking about a specific episode this time. But instead, I'm just going to be giving my sort of overall thoughts about how the season went and, you know, just where it stands, how I see it now that I've watched all the episodes in their production or at least chronological order of release. So a couple things have changed in my opinion, doing it this way. I'd never actually watched the show all the way through in this order like this. I've always, since I started watching it after it had actually been released on television, I've watched them out of order, like a lot of other people, I would assume. So it's been an interesting change of pace to see how the show actually developed, and season one was obviously a big part of that development. So right after this break, let's get to our thoughts about the season one. The entire season one of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Captain's log, stardate 41174.2. The agreement for the rebuilding of Farpoint Station has been completed per my instructions.
All stations? Ready for departure, sir.
Some problem, Riker?
Just hoping this isn't the usual way our missions will go, sir.
Oh no, number one. I'm sure most will be much more interesting.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
You know, it's kind of common knowledge against or amongst Star Trek fans that season one and two of any new series are generally not very good. Deep Space Nine has that. Enterprise has that. The original series doesn't really have that because it was only three episodes, and the third season is seen as generally not as good as the other two. But Star Trek Next Generation, I went into it at least thinking that, you know, the first two were generally bad. And I think that is a pretty typical stance to have. I think it's kind of an accurate stance to have. Season one, for as bad as I remember it, and it is that bad in spaces, it does get better as the season goes along. The first half of the season is really a lot of blunders. Just looking at my rankings here, you don't get your first... I rate all the episodes on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being terrible and 5 being great. And you don't get your first 3 until episode 12, which is Data Lore, or episode 13 if you consider Encounter at Farpoint 2 episodes. So Data Lore is the first 3 that I gave it. And the show picked up a little bit after that. There were still clunkers mixed in. There's a couple 1s, but you do get a couple 3s in a row. Starting with Home Soil all the way to Symbiosis. And then I thought Conspiracy was really good. And there's a couple clunkers mixed in, like Skin of Evil and When the Bow Breaks and all that. But on the whole, I think that Season 1 is not really good, but it's really the first half of Season 1 that's really, really terrible. There's a lot of some of the worst episodes of the show. And at the end of this episode, or at the end of this podcast, I'm going to give my top 5 and bottom 5 of the season. So I won't go too much into that, but I do think that it got better over time. However, what's a weird thing is that I thought that the direction of the early episodes was much more interesting than it was later on. I think that's sort of the way it goes once the production team actually gets an idea of how to put the episodes together in a relatively short and efficient period of time, you stop losing the little directorial flourishes. There's not many tracking shots in the later half of the season. There's not a lot of creative angles or different things, different sort of perspectives on stuff that you've never seen. And I feel that the first half of this season, those episodes really were trying to do things like that, be a little bit more creative. It probably took a little bit more time and wasn't the most efficient way to shoot a television series when you're trying to get 26-hour-long episodes in a year. But I did appreciate that, so... The first season does have that going for the artistic part of some of the earlier bad episodes is actually probably the most interesting aspect of the whole thing. So in general, the first half of the season is really bad. The second half is okay. Still a lot of clunkers. I don't think any of these shows are really great. I wouldn't recommend, even though I scored a 4 for one of the episodes, I wouldn't recommend any non-Trek fans, if anyone's trying to get into the show, to watch any of these in particular. I don't think they're really all that good for it. After that, I think a general problem for why the season is so bad is that, well, let's start off by just showing what some actual reviews thought. So Entertainment Weekly reviewed the DVDs in 2002 and said, "It was almost hard to believe just how bad much of this is." The reviewer thought the first season was too similar to the end of the original series, but that it succeeded when it needed to by introducing viewers to characters who would carry the torch for 6 more seasons. Tor.com, Keith DeCandido was less positive than that. He felt it earned its reputation as the poorest of the TNG's 7 seasons because, quote, "the episodes were uneven, poorly plotted, ineptly scripted, and acted by actors who were still trying to figure out their characters." He gave a score of 5 out of 10. I kind of agree with DeCandido on that one. I thought that, you know, the shows are incredibly uneven. The scripting is really bad, and the plotting is downright atrocious in a lot of the shows. You know, Clay, who does these with me every once in a while, who co-hosts some of these episodes, always has a problem with the first season being filled with shows where people are getting to the problem instead of the episode being about the problem. And it's true. Once you look back, there's a lot of episodes where they're talking about something incredibly interesting and they're like, "We got to get to this. And in the meantime, let's deal with this silly problem that's in the way." And it leads to a lot of these weirdly paced episodes where something exciting is happening, but you either never get there or it's resolved in the last 5 minutes of the show. And in the meantime, you're forced to deal with these much less interesting, much more mundane plots that they've inserted into the show just to fill time. And I think the show gets better at that eventually, but early on, it's a huge plotting problem. It makes a lot of the script seem really clunky, silly, and just sort of not modern. They don't read or feel like modern scripts. They're really slow. A lot of the first season writers were old holdovers from the original series, and it definitely shows that these are older men at this point, getting a little long in the tooth, and they're writing like it's 50s and 60s, not 50s, but 60s television, and it's really slow, and it's really sort of silly. Any kind of theme that they're trying to get across is not particularly well developed. There are a lot of episodes that have things that you feel like they could develop something. Instead, they take the easy route, and they just go down the easy path of least resistance. Specifically with like holodeck episodes where they kind of touch on the fact that the holodeck, what is the holodeck? Is it like an alternate universe? Is this real? How real is it? What do people get from it? How do how do people react to it? And instead, a lot of the show has this really sort of offensive, almost sort of, like racist take on human superiority to the rest of everybody, even to humans who are from the past, or the humans in the 24th century are very judgmental and critical of, the development of lower societies and how humanity has ascended to this upper pantheon of like great morality, and everything they do is fantastic. And it's weird watching it now. You do get this sort of weird Marxist and like North Korean attitude and like how humanity views itself, where it's claiming to be this beacon of hope in the galaxy. And it's really a lot of the time sort of oddly judgmental of other points of view while they're claiming to not be judgmental and not interfering. I always just thought it was a strange thing. I feel that sort of fades away as the show goes along. But it's a weird sort of theme that I hadn't really noticed watching these episodes until I watched them all in order. And you get a lot of them in a row instead of skipping around between seasons. When you watch all of them in a row, the theme really sticks out, that it's such a weird tone that a lot of the show has. So moving on is a sort of a summation there. It's just like not a great season. The scripting is probably the biggest problem. And the characterization of the characters is this huge secondary problem, just because the characters aren't familiar with what they're trying to do. I think the show saved a lot of time by killing off Yar. Once Yar is gone, Worf settles in very quickly to his tactical role. And it's a big change after the Skin of Evil episode where Yar dies that Worf actually has a point. I think it was addition by subtraction. There were too many cast members early on, and the show still has trouble servicing all of them in these early episodes. So it's good thin the ranks a little bit. And in line with that, you know, Troy, Yar, and Wesley Crusher, I think, are the weak points of this season. Troy, because she has nothing to do, and the writers seem unable to figure out what her abilities would be. In one of the episodes, me and Clay were talking about just, I think Troy would have, it would have given Troy a lot to do if she was also, besides being an empath, she was some kind of like species specialist. Something that they took off Data's plate, where they, you know, if they encountered something that they're unfamiliar with, Picard wouldn't just ask Data about what this species is all about, and Data would regurgitate like the Wikipedia entry about it. But if Troy was a species expert who knew the vast array of species in the galaxy, was a specialist in how they react to things, you know, it would go along with her empathic counselor abilities. It would just give her something to do. And I'm kind of surprised that they didn't go that way and instead stuck with Data. But because of that, Troy doesn't really have anything to do. She's missing in a lot of the first season episodes, which is kind of surprising. She has really nothing going on. And even in a lot of the shows that she is in, she just gives it one line and that's it. And Wesley Crusher, of course, is horrific. It's well known among Star Trek fans that Wesley Crusher is probably one of the least liked characters in the entire canon of all the series. His conception is silly. His execution is poor. Will Wheaton's not a great actor. It's his conception as a child prodigy is obnoxious in the grand scheme of things, or at least when you're trying to have this somewhat, you know, dramatic, serious sci-fi, to have a child prodigy who seems to have some sort of supernatural ability to bend time, as one of the aliens that comes into this season explains to us. It all just feels very stupid. It's obnoxious that he saves the ship all the time. That's always the main problem with him. But it's really just it's a horribly designed character that, as the season goes along, they use less and less, I think, because they're realizing it's not working. And if you had to pick one thing that is such a Roddenberry insert into this show, I think Wesley would be that option. On the other side of the coin, Riker comes off pretty positively in the first season. I was surprised by his involvement in a lot of the episodes, which makes sense now that when you look at the opening credits, he is listed as either starring or whatever. You know, it's Stewart and Frakes are listed before the also featuring credit line, which is a weird dividing line. In the original series, obviously, it was just Kirk, Spock, and McCoy in the later season got the first billing. And in this one, it is Stewart and Frakes, and then the rest of the crew are sorted by an also featuring or whatever, also starring, however they word it. And that makes sense in the first season, I think, because Riker is involved a lot in a great deal of these shows. And I also think that Frakes has the firmest control of his character here. The Riker in the first season is pretty similar to the Riker that you see later on in all the other seasons. Everyone else changes a lot. Picard mellows out. Picard is very angry in the early first season shows. He would mellow out and calm down. He does that later on in the first season as well, but he starts off very easily annoyed and easily agitated. Worf is very quiet. They haven't really gone with him. Troy is non-existent. Crusher stays the same as well, I suppose, but that's because she doesn't really change. Yar is a blank slate, and Data is kind of underdeveloped. Besides Frakes being excellent in this, I think Spiner's good at what he's doing, but the writers don't understand how to use Data to best effect, since he's an android. They start doing it later on where Data, I think it's in Conspiracy, Data's given something to do that actually takes advantage of his android, side, where he's given a lot of reports to review and he has to come up with a conclusion very quickly. And that makes sense. The other times, he's basically used as a Wikipedia, where they ask him something, he tells them about it, or he just serves as minor comic relief, where he doesn't know the simplest, most obvious things about the universe, like perfume in Angel One. That's a great example. He doesn't know what perfume is, even though perfume is not a crazy obscure word. It's not an alien word. You'd think an android who would conceivably have every word in the dictionary at his disposal is shocked to know what perfume is. They are just not getting Data right. Spiner's doing fine with it, and the Data character's acting like Data would, but it's not gelling like Riker is. So my main takeaways for that is, yeah, just Riker is excellent. He starts strong, stays strong, and it's surprising how much he's actually featured in the show. And a lot of the other characters are not the way that they would be, but get there eventually, and some characters are just bad, like Wes, Yar, and Troy. So the one other thing I wanted to mention before the episode ranking is firsts for this season. So this is the first appearance of Q. It has the Traveler makes an appearance, Loxana, Deanna Troi's mother, the Ferengi make their first appearance, and Colmeany appears as Chief O'Brien, even though he is not actually called Chief O'Brien until the second season. I think he's listed as Security Officer or Con Ensign, which is also incorrect because he is not an ensign. But outside of that, so a little bit of trivia. Out of Q, Chief O'Brien, Loxana Troi, and Admiral Quinn, and Lieutenant Commander Remick, who has appeared in the most episodes in the first season? Well, it's all two. All of those guys, except for Loxana, who'd appeared in one episode. They're all in two episodes, which is funny. I would have thought that Chief O'Brien was in more, but he was only in two. Q is in two. Gregory Quinn and Dexter Remick are also in two. So not a lot there. And then the Traveler makes his one appearance. So, you know, it's kind of a lot of Q. Maybe one or two episodes is Q standard. You'd think he'd be just in the pilot, but he does return, obviously, in that Riker episode. The Traveler makes his appearance. He'll be back later on. And the Ferengi make their failed appearance as the new villains. They are horrible and comical in their appearance, so they are quickly dropped, and we moved into the conspiracy theory plot line at the end, which was originally developed to be the Borg, but will fade away. And then finally, they also brought back the Romulans. So the Romulans make their appearance in the final episode of this season, and they dramatically state they're back. So the Romulans are back as well. So now, let's get into the episode rankings here. So let's start off with the five worst episodes that I thought of this season. And in my opinion, the absolute worst episode here was Lonely Among Us. It's the one with the Sela and the Antikins or whatever they're called are being shuttled to a peace talk by the Enterprise, and Picard is taken over by a cloud entity and wants to go live in the clouds and explore the galaxy. I thought that show was horrible. That was really terrible. It was laughably stilted. The B plot with the two aliens was ridiculous, that they eat each other and they have lassos. It was all truly horrible, and does not hold up whatsoever. After that, in my opinion, the next worst would be When the Bow Breaks. It's that Wesley Crusher goes to the planet with the other children. They're kidnapped by a planet that can't reproduce. That show was really bad. I barely remember any of it just because I think I black it out of my mind, but I would also never really want to rewatch that one. It's Wesley heavy, it's children heavy, and it is very, very slow, has some weird things like the pedophile adults and the weird ozone layer reference at the end, like a ecological message mixed in. Just real bad. After that, Code of Honor. Code of Honor is the Yar kidnapped by the black people alien race. You know, that episode's being derided for being racist. The script is not racist, but the way they produced it is bizarre. They cast all black people in the roles of the aliens, and they're sort of tribal. So it comes off very hacky. It feels like a 1960s episode where people are fighting hand-to-hand on like a jungle gym. It's a Yar-centric. It's very early in the show. It's a bad episode. Next up, the famous Skin of Evil. Skin of Evil, people seem, especially on the subreddit, people seem to like Skin of Evil more than I think it deserves. In my opinion, Skin of Evil is only remarkable because Yar dies. If you removed the Yar death from that show, it's appalling. Like, nothing happens plot-wise there. There is absolutely no conflict that is not, you know, that the plot has to sort of service to get over and resolve the episode. Yar is killed. They deal with this alien who gets angry by making him angry, and then they just beam out of there and go away and give Yar a funeral. It's really stupid. The villain is idiotic and poorly conceived, and the plot is horrible. If you removed Yar's death, no one would ever remember Skin of Evil. It would be seen as one of the worst episodes. In my opinion, it is one of the worst, and I've ranked it the fourth worst. It's only better than Lonely Among Us, When the Bow Breaks, and Code of Honor. But I do think it's horrible. So the fifth worst show, I think, is Naked Now. It's really just generic. It's a script holdover from the original series, or not a holdover, but they used an idea in the original series, and they did it as a second episode of Next Gen. And on a new show, when we aren't familiar with the characters, you can't have an episode where people get drunk and reveal their innermost thoughts, because we aren't aware if these are actually their thoughts or if they're being affected by the disease, because we don't know the characters. So you can't have a show that revolves around revealing people's innermost thoughts when you aren't familiar with the characters to draw any kind of conclusions from it. And it's also an early production episode and just bad in general. So those are the worst. Lonely Among Us, When the Bow Breaks, Code of Honor, Skin of Evil, and The Naked Now. Okay, so on to the best. My best is the best episode of season one, in my opinion, is probably a little bit controversial. It's Conspiracy. It's the second part of the coming-of-age conspiracy plotline where the aliens take over Starfleet. It is by far the least Star Trek-y episode of the first season. It's a lot of action, a lot of shoot first, ask questions later. Very broad, a very big idea. It has a very Cronenberg feel to it. But nonetheless, I enjoyed it, maybe just because it's so different from the show. I think it would make a great movie plot. And I just, when you compare it to the other shows from this season, it's at least entertaining, you know, which goes a long way. It might not be the best Star Trek episode, and I probably wouldn't show it to somebody to be like, this is what Star Trek is about. But I enjoy watching it. And out of all, when I was making this list, out of all these shows at this point, I would watch Conspiracy again over any of the others. So number two, the second best series, maybe I should have done this backwards, but whatever. We'll do that next time in the wrap up. So the number two is Coming of Age. Coming of Age is the first part of the Conspiracy storyline. I thought that the secondary interrogation by the crew was really good. It's probably the first time that the show nailed the different characters and how they would react to things. So I enjoyed that. The Wesley storyline is whatever. It makes no sense, but I'll mostly remember that scene because there's a Picard and Wesley scene at the end where they are talking in the conference room. And I really thought it was the first time that the show felt mature into like what it would eventually become and what I love about it. It was well acted, well done, well shot, and the interaction actually meant something, which has not been a huge thing of concern for some of these early episodes. So number three, Always Have Paris. This one's funny because I didn't really remember anything about it at all, even though it has a ton of memorable events happening, like the Mannheim effect, the time bubble, Picard meeting his old love, the three Datas. There's a lot going on here. I don't think the plot is particularly great, but it was interesting. It's a good Picard episode. And the special effects were pretty good. The planetoid shot, the three Datas. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a nice character development episode that was also pinned to a kind of shitty B plot. But the B plot was not so bad that it got in the way. Number four, the fourth best. Yeah, I'll definitely go reverse order. You know, give a little dramatic effect, I think, in the future. But the fourth best, Symbiosis, the drug addict episode. Despite Yar and Wesley's terrible PSA scene where they announce the, you know, or they renounce drugs as being horrible and, you know, the source of all evil, this is a pretty good early plot that is a little bit ham-fisted but not horrible. And I mostly like it because the use of the Prime Directive to get out of the conflict is probably the most creative Prime Directive episode that the show has done, even in the later seasons. Picard uses the Prime Directive to not interfere with the drug addiction, but also uses it to not allow the drug addiction to continue. So it's kind of a clever twist on what goes on. The, you know, the theme might be a little heavy-handed, ham-fisted, but all things considered, in this season, I think it's a pretty good attempt at making an episode about something. And the fifth best, Arsenal of Freedom. It's goofy as hell. The special effects don't really hold up. The set looks like garbage, like they went to Home Depot and bought a bunch of potted plants and ran around it on a soundstage. But this is the first show that split the crew into different groups and really allowed the interactions to shine. So Crusher and Picard are stuck together. Riker, Yar, and Data are together, and Geordi is commanding the Enterprise all by himself. I thought it did a lot to highlight the different characters. The guest star who plays the salesman is really great in this one. And, you know, it looks dated. It's a little bit silly. It's a little bit clunky. It feels like a clash of the original series and Next Generation, like a perfect mix. Where it's the original series plotting mixed in with the Next Generation's characterization. And I think the characterization works well enough to pull it out of the problems of the plot there. So I enjoy it just for that. So that's it. The best episodes in order, 1 to 5, Conspiracy, Coming of Age, Will Always Have Paris, Symbiosis, and Arsenal Freedom. The worst episodes, Lonely Among Us is the worst, then When the Bow Breaks, Code of Honor, Skin of Evil, and The Naked Now. So, as I've been saying, I've been ranking these shows 1 to 5. 5 is a classic episode, like one of the best, one of the all-time best. A 4 is an episode that you would probably show a non-Trek fan. A 3 is an okay, average episode. 2 is a clunker, but still maybe a Next Generation fan might enjoy it. And 1 is just one of the worst episodes possible, and most people would probably not enjoy watching it. So I ranked all the episodes 1 to 5. The Conspiracy was the only one with a 4, and as I mentioned before, that's probably a little bit of a weird ranking just because I wouldn't show that to a non-Trek fan, but I did feel it needed a 4 to stand out in the season. I've averaged them all together, and the average score for a season 1 episode is, drumroll please, it is a 1.84. 1.84. That is the average rating from 1 to 5 of the season 1 episodes. Not great. Not great at all. So, things can only get better. But I enjoyed the first season. Thank you guys for listening. Leave your thoughts and comments below. If you're listening on YouTube, you can leave a like or a comment. If you're listening on iTunes, you can leave. I'd much appreciate it if you left a rating or a review. It's greatly helpful to me. And we are going to continue season 2 of Next Gen very soon, probably tomorrow. I'll put out an episode. I think it's The Child is the start of season 2, the start of Pulaski era, all that good stuff. And I just wanted to say thank you guys for listening. I appreciate every single download or every single view that I get. And this has been a lot of fun to do. It's great to talk about these shows with people. I'm enjoying the subreddit activity with it. You can go to r/r/Star Trek Viewing Party if you're interested in following along. A lot of people are there chiming in with their thoughts. And otherwise, I just wanted to say thank you again. And we will be back with season 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation. See you.